Hello, dear friends. We are happy to find you all here. We will start our lecture this evening with the subject Fundamental Education. This subject is, of course, fundamental, basic, very important. We must educate the educator. If we want to properly educate our children, who are the future generations, we must first educate ourselves, since the best way to educate is by the example, by giving the example. If we do not set a good example, there will be no good education. The example is always the one that is followed. If we want our students, given that we may be teachers, if we want our employees, given that we may be business leaders, if we want our children and our family to have very specific qualities, then we ourselves must have these same characteristics that we ask them to have. We must have a fundamental education, and this is what we are going to talk about today. First of all, we must have a very open mind to accept these subjects. We must be able to identify them in our life in order to transform ourselves. If we want to positively influence others, we must first change ourselves. Do you agree? A tale given by a Hindu philosopher relates that when he was a child, he knew how to think, and the prayers he made to the deity were, "My God, give me the strength to change the whole world," is what he asked. He realized that all the problems there were in the world, and he wanted to change this world. As he grew up, his prayers also changed. He realized that the whole world was really very big. So he prayed, "My God, give me the strength and courage to change my country." So he continues to grow up, and years passed. His prayers changed again. "My God," he prayed, "give me the strength and courage to change my village, my city." Years later, he reached adulthood and prayed like this: "My God, give me the strength to change my community." Then he became a mature man, and his prayers changed once again. So he said, "My God, give me the strength and courage to change my family." Doing just that would be a good thing. And when he became old, his prayers was, "My God, give me the strength and courage to change myself." So this tale sums up what we wish to study in our conference. We must direct this education, this fundamental education, to ourselves. We must realize that we do not possess a fundamental education. We have a basic education. We got lost at some point in history. We reached a point where everything went wrong. It was all a mistake, and we added elements that were not correct for a good education. Nowadays, there are important studies, major technologies, advanced sciences. What use is all of this to us if there is no fundamental education? If we continue to harm each other, if the exploitation of man by man is so widespread, if there is violence in the family, in our family, if there is no longer any respect for our parents, any respect for teachers, for the elderly, any respect for anything. What is all these technologies, advanced science, all this good for us if there is no fundamental education to make a good use of them? It is essential that we analyze, that we reflect on all these subjects, but that our reflection is found within ourselves. That we reflect on what our life is, on our conduct, on what we do. We must think for ourselves, to have free initiative, because we have none nowadays. We only function like machines, like automatons, like robots. This is how we all act in our society today. It's as if everything was done to make robots programmed so that they serve certain interests, and that's all. Studies in our schools, whether in the north or south, the east or west, in civilized countries or in the third world countries, they are in any case mechanical studies. Studies that make us not even know why we are studying. So we have to go to school, to middle school, to high school, to university, to graduate schools, but we don't even know why we go there or why we study. We are simply asked to store a very large amount of terrible information. But why do we have to put so much information, so much data in our memory? For what purpose do we store all this in our poor brain? Furthermore, have we ever asked ourselves the questions? For example, why am I studying geography? Why do I need to learn all the capitals of the world? What will algebra, chemistry, etc. be useful to me? What use will this serve me in my family, in my home? Does this make sense? Practice sense? What use will I have in knowing theories of evolution, for example? And what use all this serve me in my life? What will be the practical meaning of all this? But no, we behave like robots, like automatons. And what interests us only is to get throughout our year, to move forward, to succeed in the year, school year, and get through it, isn't it? But why do we study? We have no consciousness of that. In what we study, that is to say, we study mechanically. We continue to have a dormant consciousness, a sleeping consciousness. We only store information in our brain, but our consciousness continues to be asleep. So be careful. Studying is not a bad thing. Studies are not bad. And gnosis will never be against studying. On the contrary, gnosis encourages studies, but not mechanical studies, which are useless. Look at our current society. In the whole world, in all parts of the world, we base ourselves only in intellectual studies. We have to store a lot of information and theories in our brain, but we do not have solved the major problem existing in the world, and even we have complicated them. We declare, for example, solar energy will solve the problems of contamination. If we take out of the equation fossil energies, and yes, of course, it may be true, but really, with the approaches that we implement with our minds so complicated these days, this is not, in fact, a solution. For example, let's reflect. Where are we going to put all this waste, all these solar panels that transform the solar energy into electrical energy when they become out of use, when they reach their their productive life. And with what energy do we build these solar panels today? How are we going to do their maintenance? As our consciousness is asleep, we don't take all of this into account. Another example. Electric cars may be a solution for contamination, yes, but where and with what will we build these electric batteries? And where will the old batteries go? With those altered chemicals, and in many times harming chemicals. If we need nuclear power plants to produce electricity, where will we deposit this radioactive waste? Near the thermoelectric plants, we can observe some alterations in nature around. So we should be aware and take all of this into account, but our mechanical way of thinking do not allow us to realize all of this. And the same goes to the electric energy that we farm from the wind, the eolic energy, right? The same goes because we are currently don't have space or don't have a mean to reuse those big fans that we use for harvesting energy from the wind. So government waste a lot of money because we do not have an awakened consciousness, because we are only pure intellectuals. So we waste a lot of money investing in these kinds of energies, but without realizing the consequence for us and for the environment. We only function with reasoning, and problems still persist. Contamination continues. Illnesses continues. We are always filled with pride, vanity, because we have discovered this or that to cure this or that illnesses. We discover something and we complicate 10,000 other things. We make plants grow, and at the same time we make many others die. We find no solution to anything. Look at how we are. We justify ourselves. We make a thousand and thousand reasonings, but illnesses, death, desolation, contamination, hunger continue to invade the world. This means that something is wrong. Something is wrong. We are grown somewhere. So intellectual education is not everything. Storing lots of theories in our brain is not everything. We also need to awaken our consciousness to become aware of some consequences and to avoid them before we implement those so-called solutions. We are really very robotic, mechanical people. We look like those factory chains that build cars. We look like these food chains or these chains that build computers. Yes, we actually look like that. So we are like human machines that must all behave and think in a certain way for a certain objective, like robots, little human machines. That's what we have become. That's all. We must store tons of information in our memory using different and numerous teaching methods in school. But why, if our memory is unfaithful, then we worry about succeeding in getting through the year, to scholar year? This is the state we find ourselves. But of course, there are rare exceptions, and they can be counted with the fingers of one hand. They are wonderful, magnificent, extraordinary teachers, yes. And it would be fantastic if all teachers were like this, devoted entirely to their vocation, giving everything they have to instruct. And it is true that it is a true drama, dharma, to have a teacher like this kind. Alas, these vocational teachers are really very rare, because it is those what we really need. We also need students who really know why they are going to school. Nowadays, as we said, students want to go to school to succeed and get through the school year, and it is because of everyone. The fault of everyone. the students themselves that only want to pass the year, school year, teachers, parents, and even society. It's everyone's fault, of course, to have this kind of students. The students simply wants to finish their school year. Learning does not interest them. Obtaining a job or a profession to integrate into society and serve it by fulfilling their own vocation does not interest our students. No more. We are all guilty of this approaching, of this attitude towards our studies, because as parents, we often tell them, you know, you have to study, take your exams, because otherwise you will be poor if you don't study. Study, because otherwise you will be miserable. Study, because otherwise you will fail in life. So we as parents provoke this kind of attitude. The only thing we manage to do by saying all this to our students, to our family, is to install the greed in their heads of our children. We ensure that they do everything necessary to succeed and pass the year, not to fulfill their dreams, not to learn, but only to pass the year. We do not observe our students. We do not notice the qualities they possess in themselves to know what they will be used for in life, to guess their true vocation. We do not tell them, if your vocation is to heal others, then you must study medicine. No. The way we approach them is study medicine, because doctors earn a lot of money. They have nice houses and nice cars. They have a great lifestyle. You see, we are all guilty. We make sure that students get to their years of study at all cost. Go to school, take and pass the exams, and that's all. We are always imagining the future with a lot of fantasy. If the government changes, for example, what will we become? If I get married, what will I do with my new family? And if I don't get married, what will happen? So we are constantly thinking about the future and what will we do next. We must live in the present. We must learn to live each stage of our life, because each period is truly extraordinary. Each period of our life. Why do we always think about the future car that we can afford? All stages of our life are important. Childhood, adolescence, adult life. Our studies are always under great stress. And there are many children who have already intestinal diseases because of school stress. It is insane. So we now find children of 10, 6 years old having illnesses corresponding or that we used to find in adults, in grown people of 45, 50 years old, like arthritis, like ulcers, etc. If children already have this type of illness from a very young age, then we can imagine what they will experience when they are adults. Where will all this lead us? So our education is not correct. We are not on the right path. It is certain that we cannot change the world, but we can start by changing ourselves. Our life at school is at a very low level. We are like robots, like zombies. We don't know what all this knowledge will be used for, and what's more, we have no idea of their usefulness. There was a time, a long time ago, where ethics existed at school, but this ethics has disappeared. Nowadays, 50 children are all packed up in the same classroom, so poor teachers. How can they take care of so many children in that way? They can't even remember their first name. there are no more ethics or order anymore. We often find that many teachers do not have the vocation and can be secretly corrupted. Students can pass their exams without difficulty because of this corruption. They can pass the subjects without knowing a single word. There are many students who openly make fun of their teacher, little students who shun them, and who pass the year with flying colors without having any knowledge of the subject they are studying. There are also very clever students, not wise or intelligent, but simply very clever, who pass the exams by cheating. There are 1,001 ways to cheat on exams, and now, with today's technology, it's even easier. The objective is to pass all the year of study to succeed, right? But that has no sense. So we say, I have to finish the scholar year. I have to have my exam. I have to move on to the next year. But why? So we say, I'm in third grade. I'm in sixth grade. I'm in whatever grade. But what does that mean? Being in the third year would mean, for example, knowing should mean. For example, knowing how to take care of animals, of pets, why not? Little by little. Knowing how to plant vegetables, having a foundation in all areas, repairing a bicycle. That will be very practical in our life. We will be able to practice what to do. And a person who would be in sixth grade would be a person who could take care of a child, who would know how to repair a scooter engine, who could do practical and tangible things to help at home, why not? But we are in sixth grade and we don't know how to do practical anything. We don't even know why we are studying. So we finish our studies and we emerge like robots, asleep, unconscious, and this is useless. 10 years of study, or maybe 15 or 17 years of study, and sometimes it is not enough. So we continue. 20, 22 years of studying. Before, it was not obligatory. But today, it is obligatory for a child in Mexico to do 3 years of kindergarten, then 6 years of primary studies. We have 9, right? Plus 3 years of secondary studies. So we have now 12. Plus three years of, we call them preparatory studies. So we have now 15. Then 5 years of university of our career, which make 20 years in total. And often, that is not enough, because we have to get maybe a master's degree to find a good work, which means at least 22 years of study. In the end, we are still asleep and unconscious. Why? Because we are not even able, many times, to do mental arithmetic. We need a calculator. What were all these study years for? 22 years of study to become a bad father at the end, who knows nothing about his children and doesn't live with them because of the work, because of the job. 22 years of study, at least here in Mexico, to not know how to share things with them or with your wife or husband, who doesn't even know them, who doesn't know how to live with people, who doesn't know how to be honest, who doesn't know anything. So what were all these studies for? You know, studying, let me repeat it, is not at all a bad thing, of course, but studies must be self-conscious. We must make every knowledge part of our life. our daily life. We must go to school and apply it in practical life, all the knowledge we have received. In the kitchen, at home, with our friends, with our husband, our wife, with our playmates, we must apply this knowledge, make it part of our life, make this knowledge practical. Then, yes, studies will be a blessing. What can we do then? Today, we cannot change the entire system of studies. No, that will be very difficult. But what we can do is that each study be a conscious study. Now our work very well. And when we study, to do it consciously. Let our study be part of our daily life, our emotions, our thoughts. And then, if we do this, the studies will be a blessing for us. There are writers who were bad students at school. Having good grades does not imply that we will make our life a failure of a succeed. Success. There are also people who have licenses, who have a profession already, and who have become taco sellers. You know, this food, Mexican food. Obviously, selling tacos, selling food, any kind of food, is not a crime. But if we study for so long, and it was to end up, ultimately, selling tacos or selling food in a food truck, doing so is not a bad thing. The thing here is that we do not apply what we spend so much time studying. These 22 years of study could have been great. How much money did we spend on all this study? Having a profession is not a crime either. At all, being an architect, a doctor, any profession is wonderful. Any work is extraordinary because the study is only positive when it is self-conscious. Many subjects studied in our career are of no use. At age 50, for example, have we used and put into practice everything we have studied? What have we done with it during our everyday lives? We will realize that we have studied a lot of subjects which have been of no use to us, a lot of subjects which have no meaning, which are not worth studying, and which clutter our minds, our brains. But there are also many important subjects that we miss. There should be teachers specialized in the vice of alcohol and drugs, for example. Real doctors and psychologists, experts in alcohol and drug addiction, who would teach children from an early age all the consequences according to their age, of course, according to their understanding, the consequence of these substances. That would be great for them and for society. But this subject doesn't exist today in schools. Instead, we study subjects that will be of no use to us, maybe ever. Theories that will be of no use to us in life. You see, we were taught for a long time that there were 9 planets in our solar system. And today, our children tell us that there are only 8. A few days ago, we were reflecting about this. What happened to that 9th planet? Even if this planet is very small, it is still there. It exists, right? It continues to be there and to fulfill its mission. Absolutely, yes. The students that were done 30 years ago, the studies that were done 30 years ago are no longer fashionable. What we learned 30 years ago is no longer useful today, because there are other theories, other information. maybe the very same way of solving mathematical problems are of no use today, and our children are learning very different ways to solve those very same mathematical problems, for example. And what's more, when we finish studying unconsciously, we have a completely robotic or automatic work. So why? Well, we don't know. We work like robots to earn our living, and that's all. We live because we must live well. We age and we die with our consciousness asleep, without knowing why we live or for what purpose we come into the world. Intelligence is very different from intellectualism. It is very different. We are, of course, not against the intellect. Obviously not. The intellect is a very useful faculty of the human being. What is happening is that now we abuse it too much, as well as religion. Because there is the religious fanaticism. Religion is not at all a bad thing, but the fanaticism leads to wars, to crime, which is truly absurd. Crime and wars that happen because of religions. So the intellect is not bad, nor are the studies, but abusing the mind, storing so many theories that are of no use to us without knowing why we study them, simply to making money, is what leads our company to have the wrong parts for its machinery, for its proper functioning. Intelligence is really very different from intellect. We must have an awakened conscience to be intelligent. But to be intelligent, we must awaken our consciousness. Because currently, it is 97% asleep. So it is not only when our physical body is asleep, but our consciousness is also asleep when our physical body is active, moving, driving cars, walking. We must awaken our conscience so that our intelligence develops within us, and for this it is necessary to have freedom. We say freedom and not libertinage, which is a very different thing. If we give freedom to our employees, to our family, to our children, it is not allowing them to go to a party until 3 a.m. because that is not freedom, but libertinage. We need freedom, but also order. Liberty, freedom, and order. These two words must be absolutely united. Freedom within an order. When we provoke fear, we are not given freedom. When we install dogmas, for example, in science or in religion, we are not given freedom. There are things in science that have never been proven. We have never seen that a human being came from a monkey, for example. Never. This theory of a man descending from apes was invented some centuries ago, but has never been proven. But we must believe in it, even if it has never been proven. So, that is a dogma. All religions are precious pearls strung on the golden thread of divinity. Each religion accomplishes its mission. Each religion is necessary. But we have put dogmas in religions, and we are asked to believe and accept all these dogmas. And that's it. We cannot analyze, we cannot criticize, we cannot give our opinion. Then freedom is lost. There is no more own or individual initiative. There is no creative expression in our works or in anything we do. Then our minds degenerate. Our mind petrifies in a narrow channel with fear and dogma. Fear of what people may say, etc. many kinds of fears, fear for many things. These fears and dogmatism prevent us from analyzing, does not allow us to ask why, for example, Plato was such an important philosopher, because it turns out that he is not that important. Maybe, I don't know. We should ask always. You should be curious. Why, does one say, do we know that the Pythagorean theorem is the basis of algebra and trigonometry? Because maybe it's not that accurate. We should be able to criticize, to analyze. I may not agree with all of these statements. We need to analyze, but we must not have a destructive criticism either. No, but demonstrate a constructive criticism, to do a fundamental analysis that comes from meditation, from deep reflection. In this case, the study is done consciously. If we analyze, if we comprehend, if we criticize in a constructive way, conscious study manifests itself naturally, spontaneously, in our lives. If we study consciously, the better our work will be. If we study consciously, our life will improve. If we study consciously, things will change for the better in society and in the world. But if we study mechanically, well, we will do nothing, because at the end we will forget those knowledge. We are machines, we are like robots, we imitate out of fear, and we have carried these fears within us since school, since children. We are asked to learn things by heart, otherwise we will get a bad grade at school, don't we? So we must think like the teacher, like our father or our grandfather, otherwise we will be rejected by the school, by the family, expelled, or we will enter the libertinage. In no order will we become disrespectful, but in any case, we will always fall into imitation in one way or another. We imitate our parents out of fear. We imitate our teachers out of fears. We imitate our friends because of fears. So we drink alcohol out of imitations. Sometimes we take drugs out of imitation, out of fears, because we want to belong. When we say, I love my parents, maybe, many times, it is not love, but fear. Fear of a harmful economic situation. So we say, I love school. We love school because we are afraid of being expelled from school. All this is only the product of fear. When someone is poor inside, they then look outside for something to fill this inner poverty. So we go shopping, we buy this or that, and by doing this we only seek to fill with the outside what we lack inside. So we are like that. We are all made the same. Don't think that we exclude ourselves from all these examples. Not at all. We are the first to be concerned. When we are internally poor, we live in chatter, criticism, and intrigues. We spread rumors. We cling to traditions out of fears. We cling to diplomas and titles out of fears. So, remember, a long time ago, there were titles of marquis or of counts of this or that province. Nowadays, studies are not bad, but believing that we are more, believing ourselves to be more important than others because we have studies, yes, it affects our life. We feel very important people, VIP, because we're called doctors, engineers, or lawyers. So yes, we cling or we attach a lot to our titles because we are afraid, because internally we are poor, so we imitate. If we are doctors, we imitate other doctors because we are afraid that they will reject us, that they will exclude us from their circle. So we imitate the way of practicing medicine. Even though we don't get to cure our patients, but we do it, we continue to do it out of fear, because otherwise we may lose our license, right? We don't dare to sometimes apply the common sense in medicine. Studies, let me repeat it, are not a bad thing, but we must learn to stop imitating, to stop being a copy from the copy. We may print a document and we may use a very, very good printer, a laser printer. But with the time, this document may become unclear, so we make copies, right? But the copies are not the same. They lose precision, lose readability. So that is what we become, a copy from the copy from the copy. So we may imitate at school. As a father, we teach our children to imitate us. So we tell them, please draw me a little tree. And the child begins to draw a tree by coloring the leaves purple. And we correct them. What are you doing, my son? This is a mistake. The leaves are not purple, they are green. So we correct our children, right? We teach our children to photograph things in drawings, but in everything. We teach them to copy and just like that. And that is very different from the Zen art. Because the art Zen is an expression of what the designer, the painter, or the sculptor captures. How they interpret nature. An expression of what he captures in his interior. He does not take a photo of a lady, for example, or a sunset, or a photo of a tree, but he captures what he feels. He captures what he feels. The antithesis of this wonderful Japanese or Chinese art Zen is now something that we call art, but which is only a bizarre mixture of who knows what. But this is not art. For example, you stick a banana to a wall, and that's art nowadays. Compare that to painting or sculpture of Michelangelo or Leonardo da Vinci. Is there any comparison at all? Today art is the antithesis of the art Zen. An abstract art would be that of Joffre, for example. He is an artist who painted a series of very famous paintings about the zodiacal signs. It's very interesting, very, very interesting. Joffre is the name of this artist. So that is a true abstract art. But what we see today, very often, is horrific. And inspires nothing but violence and sometimes degeneration, filling us with confusion. Why? Well, if we are violent in the inside, we will transfer that to our so-called art, painting, poems, music, etc. If we are degenerate people, we want all people to be degenerate like us. So we express the same thing using what we call today art. So we only learned to imitate everything, to copy things. We must develop within ourselves the power of creation, creativity, but we do everything just by imitation. So we are reflecting of all of that. Look at fashion, for example. It's still an imitation. We imitate artists. We do our hair like them. We dress like them. We are all dressed the same, with the same pants, the same shirts, the same shoes, even if we are ridiculous. We do it because of fashion. We imitate habits and customs. Nowadays, for example, we no longer find hats because they are not fashionable. We get the sun directly on our heads. So we get head stroke because that we don't wear hats anymore, because we are not used to wearing hat anymore. Previously, some decades ago, the hat protected us very well from the sun, but not now. It is no longer fashionable. It is a very old, very strange habit from another time, we say, but they are so useful. So useful today, and maybe so necessary also. So exactly the same thing happens with vices. That friend at school, very famous, very popular, who drinks alcohol, so we imitate to longing to be also very popular. We drink like him to be appreciated. We also imitate this dear comrade who smokes and seems very comfortable. Doing this is not doing things by yourself. It is only imitation. We must start by having our own ideas. We must do things that are our own. We must have our own personal identity and not being a copy from the copy, from the copy, from the copy. We see a person who exclaims upon seeing someone, "Ah, look, here is a person who belongs to this religion." But how can we say that? Because she or he is dressed up in a certain way, because she or he expresses in a certain way. So he is resulting being a copy. Not everyone must be different. Everyone must be different, right? Everyone must have their own ideas, their own way of speaking, their own way of saying things. We get used to our first Gnostic teacher or instructor, and we want all the teachers to be like him, to express like him, to explain like him. And if they are not, we declare that they are not a good instructor. And that is a bad thing, because we are all different, and we must learn to take the best from the people. There are some Gnostic instructors or teachers who smile in a conference, who make jokes in a conference, and we all laugh, and we all learn, and that's great, but everyone is different. Maybe later comes a instructor, a teacher, who is a very serious person, but must we learn to take the best from all of them? We know nothing about our mind, you know? It has become a house of seven inexplorable seals, filled with greed. Many times, degenerate habits and customs, and that cell that we form, that we have in our mind. So, we should not imitate. We must create, feel, and think freely. These studies at school, which lasted for years and years, will be of no use if we are the same when we enter this at school and when we leave. Afraid of life, full of intrigues, stories, and rumors about the lives of others. We enter our schools being afraid, and we get out of schools continuing being afraid of many things. So we continue being the same despite all the years of studies. Afraid of losing our job because we don't know how we are going to find another. So we limit ourselves to only imitating, to transforming ourselves into little talking machines, to storing lots of things in our own faithful memory. We have no spiritual or emotional maturity. The only thing we know is how to be against authorities. We really need to think about everything that constitutes education. And so this is what we are doing today, studying these different parts that we must take into account to educate ourselves. Many philosophers, many thinkers, many scientists hate authorities. They do not want authority, but there is authority in everything. Parents are an authority. Teachers, governments are also authorities. But we must distinguish, my dear friends, between a conscious authority and a subconscious authority. The subconscious or unconscious authorities have filled the world with pain and suffering because of their abuses. They are fathers or families, and it is a shame, who believe themselves to be the top of society and humanity, and who treat their children like nothing, with cruelty, who tell them that they are worthless. Yes, we are act like that. That's how we often become, or we often behave. There is abuse in these actions, aren't they? That is an example of a subconscious authority. We ask our children to do absurd, incoherent, illogical things, and we believe that everything is fine, that it is very good, a very good way of parenting. The Bible says, the blind lead the blind. And this doesn't just concern fathers. There are a lot of teachers who act like this. We ask students to do absurd things. There are a lot of business leaders who also act like that with their employees. There are a lot of government leaders who do that. We are all the same. Some time ago, there were absurd taxes, speaking about illogical governments. So those taxes were set according to the number of windows a house had. Do you imagine that? That is an example of absurd authorities and absurd taxes. Taxes are necessary to sustain a government, to sustain an order in our society. But regrettably, there are absurd taxes. We repeat once again. Authorities are necessary, religions are not bad, and unfortunately, there are spiritual leaders in certain philosophical or religious schools who are completely in error. They are unconscious authorities, and they treat their students very badly. So, the people who attend their meetings are very bad treated by these unconscious authorities, full of sometimes pride, or who are just wrong. But despite of all of that, authorities are necessary. But conscious authorities, all right? Conscious authorities, that's the difference. We have to start with ourselves, because at the end we will become an authority at some level. We have to start at home. We have to start by educating ourselves. This self-conscious authority is only possible if we know ourselves. We need to know our own faults, our pride. We are filled with self-sufficiency, and we mutilate the minds of others by imposing our way of thinking. We do not let them think for themselves. We do not allow them to be themselves. We therefore need to know ourselves. Conscious authorities are completely different from unconscious or subconscious authorities. A conscious authority, whether in government, in the family, in school, in religion or business, has the luxury of knowing and learning from the people in its care. We should all have the freedom of free initiative to do things, but within an order. This freedom absolutely must be within an order, and that is what we do not want to understand. We confuse freedom with libertinage. It's like those kids who want to smoke marijuana at home because they want to have their freedom, right? But that's not freedom. True freedom is being able to choose your own vocation, your own profession. This is what true freedom is. But entering into the generation by doing some stupid things, that is not freedom. Freedom must exist, yes, but within an order. So we must learn to know what we are doing, to learn to have conscious authority, because sooner or later we too will become an authority. We will be an authority of great or small importance, but we will be an authority. And how can we obtain conscious and good authority? By starting by becoming aware. By becoming aware of what we are doing. How it is possible that we no longer know how to put, where we leave our book, because we don't know what we are currently doing, and sometimes we don't know what we are saying. How it is possible that we no longer know where we put our keys or our umbrella? We don't remember. Why do we forget our umbrella or bag in a store, at the market? Why do we forget to get off the bus at the correct station? And what's more, we realize that a few stations further on, our eyes are wide open, but our consciousness, our eyes are wide open, maybe in the bus, seeing the exterior, but our consciousness is completely asleep, sleeping, dreaming with the future or the past or whatever, daydreaming. By continuing and remaining like this, we cannot be self-conscious authorities, dear friends, right? We cannot be a self-conscious, self-conscious authority if we don't get to realize, to be aware of what we are doing. So there is an anecdote, a legend about a student of Zen. And this student of Zen, according to their customs, could become a teacher himself, an instructor, after 10 years of practice. So he went to his master to ask for permission to become a teacher. He get to his master's house. It was raining, so before entering the meditation room where his master was practicing, he, according to the customs, he took out his sandals, and he left the umbrella to the side because it was raining, right? So he enters the meditation room and greet his masters, making the usual curtsies. So the master asked the student what he was doing over there. What did he need? So the student says, after 10 years of practicing the Zen, I want your permission to become a teacher, an instructor myself. So the master says, yes, of course, I will give you my permission, but only one thing I'm going to ask you before that, before you become a Zen instructor. So, tell me, where have you put your umbrella? To the right or to the left of your sandals before entering the meditation room? This was the only condition of the master. So, what do you think the disciple answered? He couldn't answer anything. He didn't remember at all where he had placed his umbrella in relation to his sandal, if he left his umbrella to the right or to the left of the sandals outside the meditation room. Which means that the disciple was like all of us are today. He still had his conscience asleep after 10 years of practicing Zen. So he made a respectful bow and went off to work for another 10 years trying to become conscious, to succeed in awakening his consciousness. So eventually he could become a good Zen instructor. So, dear friends, this is what happens to us all. And for this, we must begin to understand, to become aware, to become conscious, to awaken our consciousness. We must begin to understand our psychological defects, to understand them, to identify them, to discover them, because it is because of them that our consciousness is asleep. We are daydreaming in houses, in riches, becoming a rich person because of our greed. We daydream about spending our time at home, maybe playing video games because of laziness. So what will happen if we discover, understand, and eliminate our greed and our laziness? We may still work to have what we need around, but in a conscious way, without greed, because of necessity, in a more conscious and effective way, without dreaming. We must know our defects in the five centers of the human machines, because the egos manifest themselves differently in the mind, in our emotions, and in the different motor, instinctive, and sexual center. So, for example, you may like, if you are a man, a co-worker, a female co-worker, and you may like them. If you happen to be a woman, you may like a male co-worker, a nice man over there, right? You may have a nice friendship. But if you take that friendship into meditation, you may discover that that is like an ideal, right? Like a very good and very sane, proper friendship in a intellectual way. If you study that in a emotional aspect, an emotional center, you may discover there are some emotions that you have toward this person in particular, and not for somebody else who may be as nice, so who may behave as nice as that another one that we appreciate the more, right? We don't feel the same for friends who may happen to be elderly people. So we are starting to discover emotions, strange emotions over there. If we go in a more profound meditation and meditate this aspect of our life in the sexual aspect, we may discover there some not very nice, not very proper, not very decent energies or impulses, right? So we may discover there the way a defect manifests itself in a intellectual, emotional, and sexual way. So that's why we must understand, discover, and eliminate those defects from the five centers of the human machine: intellectual, emotional, motor, sexual, and instinctive aspect. So all defects will be analyzed in this way, in all departments. Only in this way we will understand our faults. It is necessary. And then we can disintegrate them. And by destroying those faults, then we can learn to obey. Because there will be always hierarchies above us. If we learn to obey, we will also learn to give orders in a conscious way. We will become a conscious authority. In education, discipline is an essential factor, but we confuse everything. We believe that discipline is cultivating resistance, but no, it is a concept that is completely false. For example, we cultivate resistance to not drinking, and we say that this is discipline, so it is a misconception, and we try to maintain this resistance. I must not drink. I must not drink. I will not drink. I will not drink. I must not drink. And we are resisting something, right? And we call that discipline. Or you can take another vice into account, like the smoking. I must not smoke. I must not smoke. I should not smoke. And we are resisting the temptation. That is the culture of resistance. So we learn to resist alcohol, smoking, anger. Do not get angry. So we try hard not to get angry. And the result is stomach pain or something like that. Because we are getting angry, but not manifesting it because of resistance. So we end up swallowing our anger. And this happens to motivate some illnesses. But inside, we are sick. So discipline is not understood. It is resistance which makes us become cruel and insensitive, which makes us fall into cruelty towards others. In this case, it is a discipline which is not understood at all. So we must change this resistance to discipline with understanding. Understanding is the key, because when we understand, for example, that we should not drink, then we no longer have the temptation or impulse to drink. If we previously understood why we should not drink, and how can we get there? Well, we should study all the consequences of the vice of alcohol, of drinking alcohol: economic consequences, social consequences, family consequences. There are many examples around us, and the consequences to our health. But in deep, to learn what alcohol does to our liver, intestine, throat, stomach, brain, in deep. And once we study that in an intellectual way, we should take all that knowledge about why we should know what the consequences of alcohol are. We should take that into meditation to become aware Once we do that, we should not even have the impulse, the temptation of drinking alcohol once again. And that's how we change discipline by comprehension. So, we must learn to break down these walls, which are the erroneous to wrong concepts that we have always had. And it is really very difficult, because if we are 50 years old, for example, and we are told, or someone tells us, you lived these 50 years being, thinking, completely in the mistake. Of course, it hurt us. It hurt us. Immediately, we try to justify ourselves. But instead of justifying ourselves, we should try to experience, to understand each undesirable element that is in ourselves. Because when we understand it, then the correct reaction occurs in us. A correct attitude, a unifying element, a creative element that allow us to be someone new, different, unique, which allow us to become sensitive and human and no longer cruel when we cultivate resistance. All the regulation and disciplines these days have led us to cruelty. Very often when we join the army, and the army is not a bad thing either, because we need people to protect us as a country. But what is not good is that with all these regulation and disciplines, we become cruel, and that is not right. If we find ourselves in the army or the police, this must be our vocation. That's right. And we must meditate and understand things about the discipline so as not to lose our sensitivity or humanity or fall into cruelty. And examples of that we find them every day, maybe in social media, right? The cruelty or exaggeration or the cruelty of armies or police. So we therefore need freedom, but also order. We must learn to be attentive to everything we do. And when we pay attention to everything we do, we save a lot of creative energy, which allow us to express ourselves correctly in life. We must put an end to this fanciful and mechanical life that we all live. This life of robots. This sleepy, unconscious life in which we are. This is why we must learn to direct our attention. We will begin to educate ourselves correctly when we succeed in dividing our attention into three parts. Who are we? What we do? And where are we? Who we are? It is being aware of what happens in our five senses, which then arrives to our mind. How does our mind react to this impact, to the impacts, to the images, to the impressions entering by our five senses? This is the first part of the division of our attention, right? Who are we? Becoming aware. What we do. We must be aware of what we are doing at the moment. Whether we are walking, we should walk in conscious. If we are eating, we should eat consciously. We are dressing, dress up consciously. Become aware of what we are doing and where are we. When we learn to divide our attention into three parts, then we begin to awaken our consciousness. We begin to become aware, to be free, to be self-aware. And then, my dear friends, we can begin a fundamental education. So, dear friends, there you have it. We have finished this lecture, this conference on fundamental education. And we recommend you to study the book, precisely, Fundamental Education, chapters 1, 2, 3, and 4 from Master Samael Aumbeor. Dear friends, thank you so much for being with us today. Please have a great weekend. May the peace reach your inner part. May the peace reach your interior. For summing up these longings, we say to all, inverential peace to you all. Dear friends, thank you so much once again. Have a great weekend. See you.